This is The State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao, in for Frank Stacio. An investigation by the Associated Press reports that leaders of a church in Spindale, North Carolina, have manipulated and abused congregants from Brazil for years. More than a dozen former members of the Word of Faith Fellowship say they were told to leave their families in Brazil to join the church in North Carolina, but after they arrived in Spindale, congregants say they were forced to work without pay. They also detail repeated accounts of physical and emotional abuse. And reports of abuse at Word of Faith Fellowship do not stop with the Brazilian congregants. In fact, earlier this year, the AP issued a report with testimony from 43 former members who say that people were regularly punched, slammed to the floor, and thrown into walls. The violence was meant to cast out demons, but former members say victims of abuse often included young children. Throughout the years, authorities have attempted to investigate the church, but church leaders reportedly blocked their efforts. Joining me now is Holbrook Moore. He's an investigative reporter for the Associated Press and is covering this story. Holbrook, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So tell us more about this recent report and the conditions for Brazilian congregants.
Well, this week the AP has released two new stories. One details how the Word of Faith Fellowship took over two churches in Brazil over a period of about two decades. And it instilled the same kind of strict rules that members told us about here in North Carolina. And over the years, the church was able to create a sort of pipeline of young laborers they brought from Brazil to the U.S. To live often with other Brazilians in basements or in homes with American congregants. And they told us that they were forced to work at businesses owned by church leaders, or at the church's school, or on church projects, sometimes 16 hours a day for little or no pay. And that in some cases, the consequences, if they broke any rules or tried to get out of doing any work, would be sometimes physical assault, verbal assault, shame from the pulpit. Those are the two most recent stories in our investigation.
And so the AP has been investigating this church for years, and earlier this year released reports of physical and emotional abuse toward other members who aren't from Brazil. Tell us about a little bit of the church's history with regard to abuse.
Right. Our first story, published in February after a two-year investigation, included exclusive interviews with 43 members of the church, and they told us about abuse that had been going on for years, particularly many of the members said that they had been slapped, punched, choked in a form of deliverance the church calls blasting. And that is not limited to the foreign congregants. Many of the people who reported such abuse were Americans, including Matthew Finner, whose case has gotten a lot of attention. He's a young man who says he was beaten for hours because he's gay.
I want to talk more about Matthew in a minute, but first I want to take a step back and talk about who the Word of Faith Fellowship is run by. What is this church, the size, scope, mission?
The church is run by, was founded by Sam and Jane Whaley. All the former members that we talked to say Jane Whaley is the person who's really in charge. It was founded in 1979, and since then has grown to a congregation of about 750 members in North Carolina and some 2,000 in branches in Ghana, Brazil, and affiliations in other countries.
And they have a 35-acre campus in Spindale, is that right?
That's right. They do have a 35-acre campus in rural Spindale, North Carolina. Not all the members live on that campus. Some live in neighborhoods and nearby cities. But the 35-acre campus is the church headquarters.
So you mentioned sort of the number of tactics used, this practice of blasting, screaming at people for hours, shaking them to get rid of demons. And then this latest story with Brazilian congregants saying they weren't paid for their work. So we have a clip of a former church member, Tiago Silva. He came to North Carolina in 2001 when he was just 18 years old and endured some of the church's hard labor practices. Let's take a listen.
We were there working, but we never got paid. If you're not paid for something, even for your food, I would say that you're a slave.
So that's Tiago Silva. He's a former member of the Word of Faith Fellowship in Spindale, North Carolina, and his story is part of an investigation by the Associated Press about reports of abuse at the church. And I'm speaking with Holbrook Moore, who's a reporter with AP who's been covering this story. So tell us more about how did the church exactly funnel these Brazilian members into the U.S.? They were using both student visas and tourist visas.
Right. The church has very strict rules, and people are indoctrinated to do what they're told, basically. So in Brazil, young people would be told, for whatever reason, they needed to go to North Carolina to learn the ways of the Mother Church. Some were told, you'll have an opportunity to go to college or see the U.S., and they would come on most often tourist visas first, sometimes 20 or 30 at a time. Some would come on student visas. But whatever visas they came on, the former members told us the real reason they were brought to the U.S. was to work. And this would include renovating apartments or houses, they said. It could include sewing. It was all kinds of work. And they said that they were rarely paid. Most said they were not paid. Some said they were paid at times, but it was often such a meager wage that it wouldn't cover rent or anything like that.
So there are obviously laws and rules about tourist and student visas and how they can be used. And how was a church able to sort of circumvent this to have these people working, doing unpaid labor?
Well, I don't think that it was done in the open. You're right. You're not supposed to work on a tourist visa. You're not supposed to have any kind of job for which somebody would normally be compensated. But it appears there's no paper trail of the Brazilians working because they weren't paid. They were just told this is what they had to do and that it was the will of God. So that's what they did.
And former members also say that church leaders would organize arranged marriages between Brazilian and American congregants so that Brazilian congregants could stay in the U.S. Is that right?
That's right. Numerous former members said that at times when, a Brazilian, for example, would be nearing the end of his visa, he would be married off to an American woman so he could stay in the U.S. We actually interviewed an American woman who said she was put into an arranged marriage with a man from Ecuador, and they were coached on what to do and say to make the marriage look legitimate if it were ever questioned by immigration authorities.
So how has the church responded to these accusations of abuse?
The church has not responded to our latest stories this week. We certainly saw comments from them, but we have not gotten any. After the first stories were published earlier this year, the first being in February, the church put on its website that it denied all the allegations in the AP story. But we have not seen any response like that this time.
And these AP reports are not the first time that individuals have looked into the church. DSS and the police have looked into the church a number of times, but there has never been any formal sanctions or charges. Why is that the case?
Well, the church has been investigated by law enforcement and the media since at least the mid-90s, but those cases generally fall apart because sometimes it comes down to the word of a former member against the word of current members. Some members are fearful and they retract their statement. There's a variety of reasons, but there's been little success in bringing charges against the church so far.
There have also been instances in which two assistant district attorneys were involved in helping coach individuals who were church members so that they were able to get out of giving accurate testimony. Is that correct?
Right. AP reported earlier this year that two church members worked for a district attorney's office in a neighboring county and that they were able to coach congregants who were under investigation on how to evade investigators' questions and how they should respond when they were questioned. Those two former prosecutors left their jobs after the AP story came out.
There is one pending criminal case you mentioned a bit earlier regarding Matthew Fenner, who was beaten, who says he was beaten in 2013. Can you tell us about this case and where it stands now?
Right. Matthew Fenner says that he was beaten for being gay. He tried for a couple of years to get people, law enforcement or prosecutors, to push the case forward. He and his advocates and family and friends would contact, the sheriff's department, prosecutor's office, over and over until finally charges were brought. But even since the charges have been brought, the case has kind of slowly worked its way through the court system. One minister, Brooke Covington, was tried, you know, earlier this summer, but that case ended in a mistrial when a juror brought some unauthorized documents into jury deliberation. It's possible that a trial could happen in September when the court's next term begins, but even before then, there's still some pending motions that have to be worked out. The church wants to move the trial out of Spindale.
I have just about 30 seconds left, but what should we be paying attention to in this story moving forward?
Well, the AP is planning to do some more investigative stories, so I guess I would just say stay tuned.
We will do that. My guest is Holbrook Moore. He's an investigative reporter for the Associated Press, joining us to talk about an AP report into allegations of abuse by church leaders at the Word of Faith Fellowship in Spindale, North Carolina. Thanks so much.
Thank you.